Hey, Maulers, welcome to the Maul Geeks Podcast and our wrap-up of this past weekend's Old Dominion Open in Richmond, Virginia. Before we start, I would like to take a moment and thank you listeners for downloading and making us part of your Modeling Big session. I'd like to also thank our fine sponsors, Furball Aero Design, Sprue Brothers, Tamiya USA, Detail and Scale, and Lionheart Hobby. Now, go ahead and sit back as we dive into the wrap-up of the 2024 Old Dominion Open. Here are the Geeks, D-Ran, Nemo, Whitey, Frildo, and El Presidente. All right, Geeks, here we are. My God, look at the faces I'm seeing on my screen. Didn't I just see you guys? I think it was like
you did
yesterday.
We was all hanging out, eating Mexican food.
eating salsa.
Only if you was paying attention did you see us.
Yeah.
God dang, man. It's good to see you guys again. How was y'all's rides home?
Wet.
It was good. Wet.
Yeah. Wet.
Wet.
Did it rain on you coming back, huh?
Dirk said that it snowed on him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, north. Yes, it was snowing.
Dirk's, yeah. Mr. I don't want to hear ever again about,
man, I never win anything in any shows.
Yeah.
Mr. Right. He comes up there with a U-Haul and a broom and a big, you know, pan to sweep up all of his awards. So congratulations, yeah. Dirk's now.
There were quite a few that did that. For the listeners out there, if you wonder what we're talking about, first of all, let's get Darren here heading things up tonight with a real quick Old Dominion Open wrap up. We all just got back yesterday from a weekend in Richmond, Virginia at the Richmond Raceway Park for the Old Dominion Open, which was, I personally think, was a great time.
Oh, yeah,
we had some guests join us from out of state in both instances. We got to sit down with some really cool people and have some really great conversations and really enjoy a lot of company and great modeling models and exhibits. So,
you know, the venue was good too, because they were in a different building this year.
Yeah, and it was awesome.
Whitey and I were talking about, because we got there Saturday morning, like what, Whitey, 7:30? We got there?
Yeah, thereabouts.
And we got to get in early and get set up, and the light in there was just amazing. And I want to say the first two times that we went to the ODO back in the early 2000s, it was in that building before. So it had been in there before, because I remember walking in like, I feel like we've been here before. And then kind of looking around was like, oh yeah, I think we have.
Yeah.
And the lighting was great. I thought the lighting was really good. Even in the afternoon when the sun was above the building and not like shining in through the windows, I still thought that there was plenty of ambient light to illuminate everything pretty well.
There was that giant cupola up top, had a bunch of windows in it. No, so when the sun was out, it was really, really good. Really good in there. And we have an interview, folks, coming up here in just a little bit with Richard Leninger, the vice president of the Richmond IPMS chapter. He kind of talks a little bit about the history of the building and where they were before. So you're absolutely right, Frill. That's not the first time they've been in there. Before we start, go ahead.
I was going to say, hats off to him for putting on, you know, a phenomenal show yet again.
Yeah, it was.
No, we've all mentioned it that, you know, it's like one of our favorite ones to go to, just because of, you know, one, the location's great, two, we have a great time. We get to meet old friends. And like I was saying, it reminds me of the movie Rounders, when they're in Atlantic City and they show up to play poker at that table. And they're like, well, if we all want to take each other's money, we could just stay at home. You know, it's the same. It's because it's the same guys that you compete against every time.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's always good to see everybody and touch base with guys that we haven't really, you know, don't get to speak to on the regular.
Well, talking about, the competing with, if you want to get to the compete side or whatever, let's just talk about what would you bring. So, Scott, let's start with you. What would you bring? How'd you do? What did you see that really stood out to you?
Sure. Yeah, man. Well, I'll just start off kind of what I brought. I was, you know, happy to finish the EA6A, the Revell kit. So everybody seemed to kind of dig that one. So I brought that. And fortunate enough, that one ended up, you know, placing and got a third, which was awesome. And then I had a Tamiya 48 scale 109. It's the E4, the tropical version. And again, that was a new one that I had finished. I was really proud about with that one. And it didn't pick up any awards, but so what? No big deal. It was still fun to talk to folks about it. And then I brought the Arma Hobby 72nd scale KI-84. And folks seemed to like that one as well. And again, just happy about placing. And that one got a first in its category. So those were the three that I brought. So two out of three models got awards. So that's, I mean, just getting one is good enough. So
yeah, man.
I was just happy to talk about. People seem to really like the Intruder. That's the one they like the most. That's the one I probably spent the most time answering questions and talking to folks about. So, and that's the one it was a lot of work to get it done. So
it's a beautiful kit, and it just goes to it speaks volumes as to the level of craftsmanship that's sitting on that table. And that's something Rudy coming up here a little bit in his interview talks to.
Yeah, that
is the craftsmanship that's out on those tables. It's just amazing.
Every time we go to ODO, there's no difference between, like, if we're talking, you know, competition and the quality. Let's just say, I don't want to use that word. Let's say quality of models.
Yeah,
it's nationals, man. I mean, it is just super high quality. There were very few models that I saw that I was like, eh. Every one I was like, that one looks good. Okay, that one looks really. Oh man. Okay, that one looks real. Wow. You know, I mean, it's just,
yeah.
It didn't matter the scale or the category, whether it was armor, aircraft, it doesn't matter. That is one hell of a high quality show. And it's so inspirational when you see stuff, you see like effects on models, you're like, man, I wonder how they did that. And so I go find out who built it and we start talking, you know?
Yeah,
I'm always learning stuff at shows. It's just, that's what I just love about it. It's a lot of fun. So it was good to talk to folks. And speaking about talking to folks and models that I thought really stood out, there's a couple of them that I thought really stood out. One of them was from Mike Wachowski. That German,
oh, I know which
thing
one you're talking about, with the wooden plane on top. Yep.
Yeah, I don't amazing. Know. I don't know what version of aircraft that is. I just know it was awesome looking. It was just, you know, like his chipping, just the paint finish, the construction, it was just different, you know, something that you hadn't seen. So I thought that was good. Like really good. I was really impressed with that. There was another one from Kevin Ferris. That ended up getting best aircraft, and that was at it was the 32nd scale wingnut wings kit. I think it was the LGV or something. I don't know World War One stuff, so
yeah, I don't either.
But it was awesome. It was really, really a cool rendition, and you know, all the woodwork and the hand painted all that stuff. So it was just unbelievable. And he scratch built and made all of the turnbuckles to run the rigging through. I mean, you know, anyway, it was really, that one was pretty good. Trying to think if there's any others that really kind of caught my eye. I think those are the two that I saw that I really liked. I thought those were really good.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. And but again, I think that, and I didn't make it around to any of the other tables all that much, because there was so much aircraft to be able to look at, and because they were all good. So kind of when I was at the contest tables, just looking at all the aircraft, I mean, it was tons. And they did a great job setting up the tables. So there was tons of room. They didn't have to shift any models around. So they did their planning and they did their homework. And, so that was pretty cool. That was great. And, made a couple rounds through the vendor table, did a couple interviews with folks. But it was, for me, the highlight was being able to spend time with, obviously, hanging out with you guys, hanging out with people that we hadn't seen, you know, having Rudy come into town from Lionheart. I mean, all the way from Kyle, Texas. I mean, I just think that that was great to have Rudy's there. So then again, I really appreciate it. Rudy making the trip is great. And then had a surprise visit from one of it's a friend that I've just have met recently, but he's been friends with Gabe for years, since like Gabe was like in high school or something. And his name's Cliff Croxel, and Cliff, like, texted me. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to be able to be in town for ODO. That's, I'll see you there. And so we hung out for just a little bit. So that was really cool. Yeah. Nice. So it was great. So again, Cliff, great to see you. You should see this guy's builds.
Oh yeah.
Oh, my,
off the hook, huh?
I told him, I'm like, are you going to Nationals? Cause I think he lives in Chicago. And I was like, you've got to bring some of your stuff. Cause I've never seen any of his stuff up close. And Gabe is, I've been listening for 20 something years, how incredible Cliff's stuff is. And I've seen pictures. Oh my goodness. Stand by, folks. I hope he brings some stuff to Nats. Cause he is, his builds are inspirational. I'm telling you. Unbelievable.
Looking forward to it. Hope he does. Like,
for the pictures that I've seen, it's like the perfect balance of realism and, you know, sort of the, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm drawing a blank here. Guys, help me out. An artistic kind of flair. It's the perfect balance. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to talk about it. We'll probably talk about it next show, but there was an article I read today from Spencer. And I think, why do you even comment it on? I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it about, because I've noticed, like, when you look at my builds now, I'm not going quite as heavy with the artistic flair, and I'm not quite going as heavy with the weathering like I used to. I think I've kind of graduated more towards realism, even though I can appreciate the art, the really, really heavy duty artistic stuff. Man, that's, it just takes forever. And I'm like, man, I'm not going to have time to get all these builds done. I keep like spending 4 years on a model. So anyway, Cliff's the perfect example of, I think, the right amount, kind of like Spencer. I think his builds kind of look like Spencer Pollard's, which are just like perfect, you know? So anyway,
something.
Yes. Sum it all up. What a great show. So, you know, being able to see everybody, you know, again, there's just so many people to mention, you know, Chad Bowser, Kevin Ferris, Mike Wachowski, TJ Jackson, Chris, Paul, everybody, I mean, and everybody else under the sun, just a great group of people. And I also want to thank my wife for coming and making it a great weekend. And because we ended up going and seeing Nate Bargatze the night before. So like, we got in really late. Holy geez. Everybody, if you want to go laugh, you got to go see this guy. He is absolutely hilarious. Really, really good time. So anyway,
good.
My 2 minutes are long gone. That was what I thought about the show, what I did at the show, who I saw, all that. Oh, Whitey's shaking his head up and down. You want me to stop talking, Whitey? How about that?
Oh, man. The sign language going back and forth, folks. It's just...
I'm off on the stage side going, straight. We need more time.
Frillo, what'd you take? You did well, too, didn't you?
Well as could be expected, I guess. I took four things. I took the F4, which I wasn't going to bring, but people wanted to see it. So I brought that and put that out there. The Claude. I brought that. I put that out there. I brought the 109, the Tamiya 72 scale 109, and my T38 that I did, the SR71 Chase. And I was lucky enough that the Claude took a third and 48 scale out of the box. So
yeah, very cool.
It's always cool whenever you go up against competition like that to get rewarded for your efforts. And which is not really the main reason why I like going to shows, but it's just kind of cool.
Yeah.
And
everybody likes to be rewarded, right?
You know,
to be recognized for hard work, you know?
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was good. And the stuff on the tables. Now, I will say, like, that Chris Dirks' 72 scale C32 that he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he did do a phenomenal job on that. I got to give my hats off to him for that. That thing was vacuum formed.
Easy now. We don't want his head to swell.
Well, I know. Well, it's already like that anyway, right? Love you, Chris. No, well done on that, man. It was a really good looking model. And another model that kind of caught my eye was down. It was in the scratch build section where it was a Natter, right? That's that thing that was vertically mounted. The Germans had that had the rockets on the back and on the tower. And a guy is like a 51-year-old scratch built model. And, so you think about 51 years, right? So you're talking about mid-70s and the technology and the stuff that was available then, or that was not available then that we have now. And he just did a phenomenal job on it. He had like the front end was kind of removed from it and was on its own cradle, had the wires and stuff, had access panels off of it. And I thought that really looked sharp and that caught my eye. And another one, like I really didn't get a whole lot of time to go around, check out the contest table as much as I wanted to, because we went around, we got some great interviews from people we've been meaning to get lined up, and I was excited to get them, sit down with them, because, you know, on a show like that, you know, show day, you know, they're all busy, and being able to carve some time out to sit down with a couple of knuckleheads, you know, and give us some, you know, and sit down and talk to us is awesome.
I want to say, I kind of, in the post show or pre show, I had mentioned this, that the job that the three of y'all did, Whitey, Frill, Scott, that with the interviews, are off the hook. All three interviews, or four interviews that the listeners are going to hear here in a little bit, were due to those guys. And they're really, really great, great interviews.
I was going to say, I only did one, but I mean, kudos to Whitey and Frill, because, you know, they were, every time I looked over, they had another group of people interviewing. So I have to admit, like, I felt really guilty. I'm like, man, those guys are doing all the work, and I'm like, totally goofing off, you know, with the show, you know. So anyway, thank you both for doing a great job interviewing.
We'll let you guys handle Fairfax.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Okay, sounds good.
And real quick, one more model that caught my eye was that, what scale was that? Why, that 1/350 scale Yamamoto battleship?
Yamato.
It was
1/200. 1/200.
1/200. Okay, yeah.
I'm not going to just, like, I kept jacking up those two names all weekend too, man.
And the way in the morning, because
one M two,
like I, yeah, because Whitey and I were there kind of early, and we got to kind of walk around. And the way the morning sun was coming through those windows up top at the cupola area, it just, no kidding, Whitey's like, man, that really looks. He had like on a water base, you know, and it kind of, no kidding, looked like it was on an ocean. The way the light was hitting it, and he had to figure,
the crewman
he
on the
had
deck.
The Japanese chief petty officer getting ready to come out and yell at a couple first classes for lollygagging or something.
Yeah.
That never happens. That never happens.
Yeah, it was like three or four guys standing around, and here come the chief.
Yeah.
To brighten their
day. Got busy.
He probably had to go get him out of jail or something. You know?
Yet again.
Yeah.
But no, that was my major takeaways from it.
Cool.
Really cool. Good time.
Whitey, the C-47 was looking proud and proper sitting out there on the table.
Yeah, that's the only thing I brought was that. I really didn't have anything else to bring. Although then I was like, man, I probably should have brought, like, I think I built a submarine that over the this past year that I probably could have threw that out there. But
why didn't you bring that?
I didn't even think about it. I just totally didn't even think about it. So I was talking to Stephen Lee and Mike Witowski, and they were talking about how their little cabal of guys all brought submarines. And I was like, oh, man, I had a sub I could have brought. But, yeah, I forgot all about it. But so, I just brought the C-47 that I had just finished up, sort of, kind of. And, you know, I had some areas I wanted to touch up. So I started into that on Sunday morning the next day after I got back here. And
I saw it.
Fit a big thumbprint of OD paint on the wing that I'll have to fix at some point too. But anyway, yeah, that's
gutsy move, Mav.
Don't fix it. Well, here's what the thing was. I ran out of the LP olive drab, and so in some areas I used the XF olive drab Tamiya paint, and there's a little bit of a shade difference, which is fine for the most part, because, you know, you just wind up with a little natural variation here and there. But there was one area around the antenna that I just didn't like. It looked like it was casting a shadow of ice being, you know, so I was like, oh, I'm just going to take that LP and blend that back in and make it look normal. And that's what I was doing. So I'm just mixing up like a little few drops of paint. But as I was pouring them, it got on my thumb of, you know, my glove hand that I used to pick up, and I grabbed the thing by the wing, and I want to, you know, splattering paint on it, whatever, man. So I'll fix it.
It took what, a second, or didn't it take a second or a third?
A third.
Third.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. I know it was still off gas, and you're not done with it yet, right? Because
well, not now. I gotta go fix.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to fix what you did, but you still got more plans for that for nationals. So
hence the topic for the next show, I guess, with the one that I'm going to host, which is negative modeling. I had a lot of that with the EA6A as well, man. It's but you'll get it fixed up, man. You'll get it fixed. That should be fairly easy to fix.
The funny and ironic thing was I'm sitting here listening to the Model Mojo fellas, and they were doing their little, their last show was their Wheel of Wisdom. And as I did that, they were talking about that very thing. Like, what do you do if you got a big thumbprint in your paintwork? You know, and I was like, oh,
sand it out.
I better listen closely here. And Dave Knight's recommendation to the listening audience was leave it alone for 24 hours and walk away. And that's exactly what I've did. I was just like, well, I'm not going to mess with that for the rest of the day, man.
Well, he kind of coined that phrase negative modeling, right? So I think he's probably got all the fixes for it. First thing is leave it, walk away, come back. And then,
my first initial reaction is to colonize it.
Yep, me too.
I have to
calm
down,
like,
you know?
Yeah, me too.
Speaking of colonizing, real quick, we got to see Carlos Danger in the flesh. Actually,
we did.
Carlos Danger.
The real deal.
Real deal.
Sure did. Let's see. Speaking of off-gassing, Tim, you had something on the table to kill off-gassing, didn't you?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of Mexican food consumed this weekend. Speaking of off-gassing. Yes, I went there, folks. So what did I bring? Well, I didn't actually enter anything in the competition this year. There you go. I got to talk to my dog. Or was that a spider? Yeah, that was a spider. Anyway, let's see. I'm getting sidetracked here. So I ended up bringing three float planes for the club display, which was any aircraft that floats, seaplanes, float planes, flying boats. And I did finish my Italeri Cont Z506, and it actually it didn't look as bad as I thought it was going to look. I was happy enough to put it on the table. Otherwise, it was going to go in the trash because I almost colonized that thing at least a dozen times. But ultimately, it crossed the finish line. I do want to go revisit it before the next show at Nova and put a little bit of exhaust stain and some oil stain on it, and then ultimately get some wiring in it, some rigging, because it's got. There should be 2-4 heavy cables that are on the floats, and then a radio aerial that should run from the vertical fin to the cabin. And I think it actually splits and goes to a couple of different places.
Yeah,
very cool. Yeah. So that was what I brought, and then what I saw on the tables. I found an opportunity and walked around and looked at every single model. Because the judging had started by that point, so I had an opportunity to walk around and just look at everything that was on the tables. And I paused at each one and tried to get the how does this make me feel when I look at it. And I took pictures of the ones that I either laughed at or thought were really good, high quality prints. And when I say laughed, I mean it was meant to be humorous. Like there was a figure of a hobo who was cooking a couple of hot dogs over a little can fire, and of course the title was King of the Road, and there was a little white dog that was sticking its head out from underneath the guy's coat, and it was obvious that the dog was probably going to get one of the dogs. So I thought that was pretty good. And then there was a beautiful Corvette I saw. It was the one that's got the little side things on them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's from the early 60s, I think, but it was absolutely beautiful. He had it all opened up. You could see the engine, and I thought that one was quite beautiful. Nice gleam to it. I mean, it looked like it could sit on a showroom. There was a Gundam that had been painted up. You know how most Gundams are. You know, they're just basic plastic. Well, this one, the guy painted it, and I assume it's a guy, could be a gal, but it was painted in camo and it looked like the sniper camo. And he had modified the, I think he had modified the gun that comes with the Gundam, and it looked like a sniper rifle. And it looked really sharp. It didn't look like it was thrown together. It actually looked really good. I mean, it could have been a Marine, if you will, a Marine sniper. And it was really nice.
Yeah, there were a lot of sci-fi Gundam stuff. In the interview with Richard Leninger, he really gets into the numbers and breaks down, you know, some of the stats of the show. And yeah. I think they were really, really kind of taken back by the number of Gundam. And that's something he mentions that's growing each year. So
yeah, there was a huge, I mean, I was surprised at the number of tables that had Gundams and other tech type, Robotech type models that were, probably Macross and I think Robotech is another subgenre. Yeah. But yeah, there was quite a few. I was impressed with the number.
It's good to see that genre growing and coming in. More folks at the show there. Yeah. So.
Did you guys see the Dolphins?
I did not, personally.
No, I didn't see that.
I did not see the Dolphins. Yeah.
So on the Missouri, the 1200 Missouri that was right next to the Yamato, if you looked real close at the bow, there were a bunch of dolphins that were jumping over the waves, the bow waves.
Breaching the bow waves.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, it was a nice little touch on that one. Again, a beautiful model that, if you're taken initially by the Yamato because of its size. And here's a Missouri sitting right next to it. And it was an interesting comparison. I mean, it almost looked like a cruiser versus battleship as opposed to two top-end battleships.
Yeah.
Let's see. What was there was one. Oh, yeah. And the one that, this one evoked a lot of emotion out of me. And it'll be the last one I mentioned, but it was a, I'm not sure if it's classed as a diorama or a vignette, but it was a Marine LVT, which is the tracked landing craft that's kind of armored that, you know, they could basically drive it right up onto the beach and continue to move up onto the beach if they needed to. But anyway, there's a photograph, black and white photograph that was vertical. And it showed the, you know, obviously the combat photographer was taking a picture of it, and it was kind of in the aftermath of the landing. So, cause the landings lasted 2.5-3 days until they took the island, the atoll actually. And so there's a picture of this LVT in black and white. What the modeler did was recreated that, but then took the viewer's perspective is behind the photographer. So there's this combat photographer who's taking a picture of the LVT. And there's a couple of, unfortunately, it included a couple of corpses. And when I say unfortunate, because, I mean, a lot of Marines died in that battle. And even more were, a huge number were wounded, one of which was my father-in-law. And it evoked quite a bit of emotion out of me on both of those levels. One because of the family connection I have, but also because I just thought, I mean, as I looked at it, it just jumped out at me as very moving. So I just wanted to mention that. I meant to try and look at the sheet to see who actually built it, and unfortunately, I couldn't get it folded up without moving the model, and I wasn't going to touch it. So,
Hopefully we'll see it again at Nova.
I'm hoping so. And I'm going to try and figure out who it was that put that up there.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, you know, Dirch's C-32, and I saw that, and that was an awesome looking, I kept telling myself, yeah, he did great considering it was a VAC form. That's, you know, it's even better, because those are a challenge. I've built a few and they are not easy to do.
No, they're not.
Yeah. But yeah, there was, go ahead.
I was just going to agree with you, Tim, that the VAC form stuff. I've never tried one and I probably won't.
Well, why didn't I were talking about the VAC form group build. So,
yeah, Yeah.
Man,
we should. The only reason anyone should ever build a vac form is because that's the only way you can get the subject you want.
Yeah.
If you don't have a desire for a particular subject that is only available in vac form or scratch built for that matter, then I would say I would not recommend anybody try to build one.
Just like with anything, though, I think, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone, you're going to learn a lot, though. If we all try to build a vac, you know, we probably should all try one just to improve, you know. I mean, it's going to help your skills, you know, with
absolutely
just fitting and all that stuff. But yeah, it's impressive. It was really
nice. It'll make you appreciate Mr. T for sure.
My goodness.
Exactly.
I got a couple vac forms.
I've got one. So maybe we have to pee the T on that one there, Whitey.
Yeah, I got a stack here.
Yeah, I got one of those Navy trainers, the Naval Aircraft Factory trainer, and I just, you know, I saw recently that there's a mixed media resin kit out there of one 72nd scale that I'll probably get vice building that. Like Tim just said, life's too short, yeah, man. That's the thing about the vac forms, though. Like, I was really enjoying just digging through them over there. Jeff Garrity's Rare Plane Detective, they were right across from us. And I kept going over there and digging through those boxes of vac form because some of the subject matter is just fantastic. That'll motivate you into grabbing one. I almost grabbed that 48 scale Sox Eagle kit.
Yeah.
You know, but then I was like, I don't have the time to.
Yeah. I've got a Martin Baker, the MB5.
MB5, yeah. There was another one of those over there at Rare Plane Detective. I saw it because I went through the vac form boxes as well.
Whitey and I went to grab it and it was gone because I was going to get it as the second one. But
If I'd have known you were looking for it, I'd have grabbed it at the time.
I wasn't. I have one that I probably never build. But now that I'm kind of entertaining the idea, I thought it'd be good to have a second one just in case.
Yeah.
But
and Darren, you said you didn't actually bring anything to put on the table, but
no, I didn't.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on ODO? What you saw? What were some of your favorites that you saw? And then, of course, what did we all pick up from the vendor area? We can do that later. But just curious, What'd you see that you liked?
So all of it. I you know, to pick one or two, y'all hit on Dirks. That was really one of my favorites. That German aircraft that you talk about, the wooden one that Mike did, was off the chart. Troutman had a couple of really beautiful subjects sitting on there, and Nelson as well, sitting on the table. It's just, it's funny. I want to go back. It's the people. I was fortunate enough to come in the night before and have dinner with Frank Blanton and his lovely wife, Nancy. Annette came with me. Tim met us over there at their place for some cocktails, and then we had a good seafood dinner. Bert and Rock from Detailed Scale out dinner with us, as well as Rudy when he flew in. For me, that's what this whole trip was about, was the people. But kind of going back to Dirk's build and where I was going with that, Rudy and I were looking at the C-32, and he was like, you know, I haven't seen this kit before. And when I told him that it was vac form, he said, it's what? he was having a hard time believing that was a vac form kit. So, for me, this weekend was more just about being with friends and catching up and enjoying everybody else's work. So to try and pick one or two off the table, I think it's impossible. There were just so many good ones.
Yeah, it's tough to do because as soon as I mentioned the two, and then you guys start talking, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Oh crap, I forgot about that one. Yeah. And then you think about like all the other people that you ran into that, you know, they're just like, oh yeah, Nelson, and just all the other, you know, guys from our club, Brent.
Oh yeah.
Just,
yeah.
There's so many people that love the podcast that's the thing that it's really great when you hear people come up to you and they're just like, we just love the podcast. And it just kind of makes your day when you're like, wow, there's people really listen to us. That is awesome. Great.
And our very own, Carlos Danger, he took home some hardware too for his hard work.
Carlos Danger should be entering the show. He should bring stuff because his stuff is amazing.
That, like the way he did the OD on his P-47, the in-flight one, I thought was just spot on. Like the way it was weathered and the way it was post-shaded was perfect. I was like, man, if I could do mine like that every time. Yeah, it just blew me away. And like still to this day, I was like, you know, some of the best weathered OD I have ever seen.
Right. Yeah,
really looked good. Well, you know, I mentioned Rock and Bert and like being able to sit down and have dinner with them. I know that Frill, you and Whitey, y'all got a chance to sit down to talk to Bert and Rock both at the table and discuss, actually announce what their next book is going to be and talk a little bit about what they have coming down the road. So let's go ahead and move on. Let's roll into our first interview. And this one is the sit down that Whitey and Pharrell have with Rock and Bert, a detailed scale. So you all enjoy, and we'll be back here in just lickety split.
Hey, what's crack-a-lackin', model geeks? You've got Pharrell Dillon Whitey up here at the 2024 ODO in Richmond, Virginia. And we were able to find Bert and Rock from Detail and Scale to sit down with us and take some time out of their day and talk to our listeners. Bert, Rock, welcome.
Thank you, and glad to be here with you, and also always great to be at a model show in our home state of Virginia.
Yeah, it's great to be here, and I'm actually in the presence to hear the crack-a-lackin' being spoken down.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, crack-a-lackin'.
I'll tell you what, they have us situated right at the front door, which is probably a good spot to be because we're right here in the middle of all the action. How's foot traffic going for you guys down there?
I think it's doing pretty well. We've got a really good show here. I mean, you look around, there's shoulder to shoulder people everywhere. It's a really, really great turnout on a nice day.
It is a nice day. We drove down here yesterday through the rain coming up from Southwest Virginia, but like Bert said, a lot of people here today were selling books. We've got our latest books with us. Our most recent publication, the A6 in Marine Corps Service, Colors and Markings books, is selling very well. The book that came out prior to that, the P-47 Thunderbolt and Detail Scale, were almost sold out of that one here.
Oh, wow. Today.
And we've got with us the final proof of our next book.
Uh-oh.
P-38 Lightning in Detail Scale, Part 1, from the prototype up through the P-38H. And it's going to publish Tuesday or Wednesday of next week.
Oh, wow. Well, you heard it here, folks. New Detail Scale titles on the way out.
That sounds good. I definitely have a couple P-38s in my future, so very handy. Good timing, fellas, as always.
Yeah, we expect Part 2, which will cover the later P-38s after the major design change with the cowlings and so forth. They'll cover the J, the L, the M, and the associated photo recon variants that went with those. That we're looking and expecting probably late April for that. So the Part 1 and Part 2 will then both be out to cover the entire spectrum of P-38s.
All right, Frildo, that's right up your alley, because don't you have a recon conversion to do?
I certainly do. I picked it up at the Nats last year, and I want to take one of my Tamiya kits, H's, I think, and I want to do the F5, the recce version. And that book is going to time up perfectly.
We've got some good detail shots of the F5 in the book that's going to publish next week, so that is
there you go.
Very timely for you.
All right. Let's see, what other plans you guys have throughout the year, show-wise? I know Fairfax is another show you guys like to hit.
We're hoping to make Fairfax in April, isn't it?
Yep, yep.
Next month, I'm going solo to WriteCon it's about a month away, and it's a two-day regional show up there in Dayton, Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm fortunate enough to be booked into the research archives of the Air Force Museum following Monday and Tuesday. Hoping to fill a couple of holes I still got in the next Colors of Martin's book, which will be on the F-106 Delta Dart.
Oh, so wow. They will give you access then to get photos. Is that how that works for you guys?
Yes.
That's excellent.
We've had a couple of research trips up there before. They know how to post researchers, and I've already given them my list of wants, and so I'm really looking forward to it.
Good stuff. All right.
Yeah.
And after the P-38s, our next detail and scale series book will be the F-80, the very first operational jet fighter for America and the United States Air Force as it was formed. Really excited about that. We got some really great coverage of the F-80s. Next in the coloring markings books is the F-106 Delta Dart, doing a real good coverage of all the F-106 squadrons from the very early days right through the guards, just like we've done for the 102 previously and several other aircraft. So looking forward to getting some of those colorful F-106s out there for everybody to take a look at, and I think that'll be enjoyed. So those are the next two books after the P-38s are out.
All right. The 106, definitely I'll look forward to that one. I was a big fan of that jet as a kid. There was a Otis Air National Guard base used to operate those things. And in the summertime, I used to love to go on vacation just because I knew we were going to be down there. Let's see some 106 action.
Yeah, it really was.
And those jets had some really cool schemes on them.
They did. I hope you guys are going to have the FANG, the Florida Air National Guard, covered in there.
All right.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
And they had that amazing bicentennial.
The city of Jacksonville on the side.
Beautiful aircraft. We've got that covered from nose to tail.
Oh, good. And, you know, me being from Jacksonville or outside of Jacksonville, it's my hometown, and I still do not have one done for myself.
Oh, no.
You should put yourself in, you know.
I got the decals for it.
Oh, my God. And you still haven't built it?
And I still haven't built it.
Come on.
As I said, the P-38 book will be published next week. That was Hagen, Klaus, and Bert teamed up on that. And they're teamed up on the part two book that'll come 6 or 7 weeks later. And it's Hagen's third book for us. And he really,
well, you know,
got to have on the team.
I was going to say, absolutely. You've got to have someone doing research for you. He's probably the guy kind of in the role of that for sure.
You know, I would love just to have him come down to like our local club one time and give his presentation on the prototype F-14s that he has done. Because I remember seeing parts of it, and it was just amazing. I mean,
I've never seen it either, but I've heard the same thing. Let me know if that happens. I may come up and attend your meeting.
Oh, okay.
We'll set that up.
I know he's offered to come down before and do it, so I guess just trying to, you know, get him tied down long enough to come down to us people in Southern Maryland.
And did Dana Bell come to one of your meetings recently?
I believe he hits up the Northern Virginia.
He goes to Northern.
Because he's up that way. We would love to have him down. And in fact, I see him. He's also here vending.
We haven't seen him yet. Where is
he? He's on the far side of the room here. Yep.
We'll have to look him up.
I have to go over there and jerk his chain a little bit.
Yeah.
Dana and I go way, way, way back to the back when he was just getting started. And that guy is, in my estimation, the most diligent and thorough researcher I've ever known. And I've known a lot of guys, and there are plenty of them that are good folks. But Dana is really in a class by himself. There's a really funny story about that. I took Dana with me out to on one of my carrier trips. This particular one was to USS John F. Kennedy. And we were flying out there, and it was 1992. It was a year after Desert Storm. So a lot of its air wings still had Desert Storm markings on it. But anyway, I always told ComNav Airland that I was bringing somebody with me as an assistant photographer, and I took Dana. The only thing is, I just said Dana Bell. And so we get there, and the people greeting us on the ship thought Dana Bell was a female. And not only did they think he was a female, they thought it was a French porn star.
Ah, sorry, fellas.
evidently there's a porn star somewhere in the world with that name or very similar. So I'll never forget it. We get off the COD, we go down the on the catwalk down under and into the carrier to the people that were greeting us, and they looked at Dana and they said, "Well, you're a guy."
Ah.
And Dana looked around and said, "Yeah, I think so." And but they had made special arrangements because back then there were no females on ships.
So
they had made special accommodations. And no, he can bunk in with me. So, we shared a stateroom. But Yeah, that was a funny thing. Dana and I joke about that about every time we see each other.
Oh, that's good. See, leave it to the Army guy to chime in with a good sea story. It's been a while since we've had a good sea story on the show.
Yeah, well, a lot of our sea stories aren't like PG, so.
Yeah.
And if we were to make it PG or PG-13, it probably wouldn't come across the same.
Yeah.
So, but it would lose
something in translation.
Yes, we would. We would.
Dana's stuff is fantastic.
The first time I met Dana, I was a young Air Force captain. It was about 1980-81. I was stationed at SAC headquarters in Omaha. And I came TDY into the Pentagon. And I had a couple of extra hours one afternoon. So I went over to the Air and Space Museum on the Mall. And somehow worked my way, I BS'd somebody and got up into the third floor research area. And here was this little desk with a guy sitting there going through doing research. And he had a little nameplate up there, Dana Bell. And I already had his, you know, U.S. Army Air Force colors books. And it was like meeting a rock star for me.
Yeah.
Wow. That's.
I introduced, he won't remember that, but I introduced myself. I was so excited to be meeting the Dana Bell.
Well, that was me and Samo the first time we met Bert down at Nats. I think it was probably the 08 Nats or one of the Virginia ones a few years back. And Scott's nudging me. He's like, that's Bert Kinsey over there. Like, wow, let's go talk to him.
We went to dinner with Frank Blanton and a couple of the geeks last night. And at the end, as we were leaving, Frank says, oh, God, I can't believe I got to meet modeling royalty here. And I said, yeah, model royalty and his driver.
He was just, Frank stopped by the table early. He was relaying that story. And we laughed. I said, yeah, I had the same thing back at NASA so years back.
Well, listen, we're really happy to stay involved with you guys. And we're looking forward to an active year of helping donate some books for some of your customers. And your listeners and your, because what you guys do is really great. I listen to every one of your podcasts. You get me through a lot of hikes. And when you're an old guy, you got to keep walking. So you guys keep doing what you're doing and we're happy to stay involved with.
Thank you guys so much for being a part of this with us, you know, being with us on this journey that, you know, we're very fortunate that we have you guys along with us on this ride. And, I look forward to this. Going to be an awesome year, and I can't wait.
Definitely happy to have you guys on board for sure, yeah. Man. So what? We'll see you in Fairfax then.
I think so.
Yeah. All right.
I think so.
And Nats. Any plans for Nats?
We've got tables. Well, we've reserved tables at Nats to vend, but we're still working some lodging issues.
Gotcha. Yeah.
We know Bert was on the phone. As soon as the
reservation went live, up and nothing.
We had no luck.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a, call it a snafu there somewhere. I don't know.
They're supposed to open what they're calling a phase two. So hopefully we'll get that worked out.
And roger that, yeah.
Get it taken care of. But
yeah, because we really want to go. We didn't make Texas last year.
No, me either. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping we can make it to Madison.
I was there. It was a good time.
Yeah.
You sounded all right. Well, hopefully we'll see you guys up there.
All right.
We'll look forward to it.
Yeah. Well, hey, Bert, Rock, thanks so much for taking the time to sit down with us, you know, talk a little bit, give us some the latest intel on some latest, you know, your new titles that you guys have coming out. And I know I'm excited for what the ones you guys got coming out and can't wait to see what else you guys bring.
Well, we appreciate that. And first, the next week, I'll be sending you our courtesy copies of the Apple version books of the Apple version of the P-38.
You know, that's awesome because, like, I like having books in print, you know, on the bookshelf, but the electronic way is awesome because whenever we go on a vacation or we go on travel or whatever, I always take my iPad.
It's always there.
And you're right. And if I'm doing research on a project I'm getting ready to do, I've got your stuff right there. And so if I got some downtime in the evening, I can sit there and go ahead and start, you know, I'll always do my research. And
I feel the same way, Freeler. I prefer that medium myself.
Because then I can take my detail and scale collection everywhere I go.
That's exactly right. And we hope all your listeners do too.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much for having us.
And thank you.
I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
You guys too.
Yeah, really enjoy being with you all. You do such a good job. Just good guys. And that's makes a hobby the people make the hobby just really
absolutely
the most enjoyable thing that it is.
Happy modeling from Detail and Scale.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, there you go. Rock and Bert from Detail and Scale. Those guys are really doing a hell of a job over there. This new book, I downloaded a copy of the P-38 book today. Did you guys get a chance to take a look at it yet?
Yeah, I downloaded it and kind of, before we got on here, I went through and kind of checked it out and looking forward to tearing into it after we, after we wrap up here.
Yeah, I've got a couple of the Tamiya kits sitting over here on the old shelf that I think those are gonna that book is gonna come in handy with for sure, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I missed it. I was just busy walking around the vendor area, so I missed the interview with Bert and Rock. And speaking of vendor area, just what did you guys think of the vendor area? And did you pick anything up? I thought the vendor area was huge. I thought it was giant. Yeah. So, I got a couple of things. But, Furrow, what did you get, man? What did tell me your thoughts on the vendor area and just tell me what you picked up.
Well, I thought it was fairly large. And, you always got to take your cursory lap in the pattern, right? Yeah. you just got to get in the pattern, walk around and, you got to scope it out, get your landing, get your landing cues marked down and start like, stuff.
Maybe
you
do a bounce or two.
Yeah.
Stop, rummage through a box or something, and just keep walking. And, so I only picked up two kits, believe it or not.
What'd you get?
You pick up? The first thing I got was, I remember when this kit came out back in like the mid 2000s or whatever it was.
Okay.
2015, 2014, and it's a tank. I know.
What?
Yeah, I know. And it's a dragon kit, and it's a gust. I don't know, a panther, whatever they call them things. AUSFG, whatever.
Else something or other.
Yeah, I forgot if there's a panther or it's a tiger or it's a panzer. I don't know.
You said it was a dragon kit.
Yeah, it's a cool looking.
Cool, man. What made you, what possessed you to get that?
Well, I saw it when it came out, when it first came out, like back in like 2011, 2012, and I thought it was a cool kit. And I was like, want to go get it then, but Sprue Brothers didn't have it in stock and then just kind of forgot about it. And this one guy, he had hobby show prices.
Sweet.
And he had it there and I was like, all right, I got to get it. And so I picked that up and I was walking back to go put it by the table and I was like, did I really just, the first kit I bought was a freaking tank?
Tank.
It's because like, he was hanging out with TJ, Grizz, Zach, and he was like, check it out. I'm with the cool dudes. I'm hip. Look at me, man.
Got it.
You know what they say, when in Rome, right?
Whitey. He's like, screw the model geek, my bros,
check me
man.
Out, guys. Check it out, guys. I'm buying a tank. I'm buying a tank, man.
Guys, I'm cool. I'm cool like you. I got a tank.
Oh, boy.
And so I was walking around and nothing that caught my eye was the old Accurate Miniatures F2G Corsair. Air Racer, the Port Columbus. So I've got that Halberd Models conversion that I'm going to do of that P-51 Air Racer. And I was thinking, it'd be kind of cool to do a Corsair too, because they were at the same race at the same time. And when I got to looking at the kit last night, and it gives you markings, you can do one that was here at Pax River as a test platform. And I was like, ooh, so I kind of may want to go that way with it and do a Pax River test airplane.
Ooh.
And
nice.
And so for my seaplane, so those are the only two kits that I bought. And then for my seaplane entry for our group build that we're doing for the club, I had this what if scheme got rolling around in my head, and I needed some Coastie decals for it.
Really?
Yeah, and there was a guy who had decals like $5 a sheet, and he had some good stuff. And so I picked up the Fireball Models Model Works HH60J Jayhawk.
Oh, check you out. Those are cool, man.
So when I was looking at it, it's got the Coast Guard badge and stuff. So yeah. I got an idea, like a what if, or where it's a Navy Coast Guard joint venture kind of thing.
Huh.
I remember reading an article a couple months ago where the Navy's like doing feasibility studies of bringing seaplanes back. So I thought, it'd be kind of cool. And so I got this thing going around my head. And And so it has the Navy, you know, the U.S. Coast Guard lettering that I need and
yeah,
stuff like that. So I picked that up and I got some supplies from Angel and that was it.
Good deal, man. Whitey, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on the vendor area and what'd you pick up? Did you get anything?
Yeah, the vendor area was pretty huge and we'll touch on that with our interview with Rich and Landinger here in a little bit. I picked up, like I said earlier, the rear plane detective was right across from us. And all day long, I was looking at this Airfix tanker up there, the Vickers K2. And yep. For some reason, that kit's hard to get in the States and at a decent price even. And So he had it sitting over there. And I went and toward the end of the day, it was still up there. And I was like, man, if I walk out of here and don't get that, I'm going to kick myself. So I grabbed that. It's
cool,
interesting looking airplane, those things, you know?
Yeah.
And aside from that, the only other thing I bought was I bought a 72nd scale F-20. And the only reason I did that was because I need the landing gear from it for another project that I have.
Okay.
So, gotcha. It was either, I needed an F-5 or something. And I saw the F-20 and I was like, oh, same, pretty much same landing gear.
Close enough.
So let me steal that thing. And that thing, the F-20 is a little more unique. I'll stick it on a stick and put it on my desk at work or something.
Cool.
Now I did, we mentioned Chris Dirks here a little bit ago, a friend, and prior to the show, he made it like, it was let's make a deal time, man. And he said, hey, I have this X-15 kit with all the hypersonic stuff that you can't get anymore.
Oh man.
It was like, I'm never going to build it. You go into ODO, I'll bring it. I'll sell it to you at a decent price. And he made an offer I couldn't refuse on that thing.
Awesome. You should do that, man. Next build. Oh, man. For sure.
Well, it's a project.
Yeah. That'd be awesome, though.
Yeah. It'll look cool when it's done. I hope.
Cool.
So that's really all I bought aside from, I hit up Angel at Micro World Games. He was there with his store, essentially, right? And, I needed some diorama supplies to do some groundwork for my C-47 diorama that I'm planning. And so I picked up some of the AK, the grass and the cement or mud.
Cool, man.
So I dropped a pretty good chunk on just buying supplies as well, which is always essential for us that don't have a hobby store anywhere near us. That's it.
Cool.
That's what I got. And that's what I blew.
Good deal. Awesome. Tim, how about you, man? What'd you think of the vendor area and what'd you get?
I thought the vendor area was awesome. It was huge. And I was a very bad boy.
Oh, boy.
I went in looking for two models. And there was only two. I bought one of them.
Okay.
That was the Phantom FG1, FGR1,
okay,
that from Airfix, and it's a relatively recent release of their Airfix, their Phantom kit,
yep.
And it, but it has the markings in it for the one that the Marines marked up on the Saratoga when it cross decked. So I wanted that one, and I was able to get it, and I got it from Starfighter Mark Tutton. He's the Airfix guy here in the States. So I was able to get it from him. And then the other one I was looking at was the Black Buck Vulcan. And I decided to sleep on it. I almost peed the tea, but I thought, you know what? I'm not ready to do that because I had already walked around and when there was a buy one, get one, over at, I forget who the vendor was, but he had a buy one, get one for 72nd scale. And of course I found an older set from Williams Brothers of the, all four world cruisers, the Douglas world cruiser, biplanes from 1924. And they did the round the world flight and, it's a 4-in-1 kit. So you get all four with the markings, plus you get a bonus fifth set of markings for the replacement aircraft. And I've already got one of those. It was one of my dreams is to build all four of those. And I now have enough to build all five. So I picked that up. And then of course the get one free was a an Edouard dual combo Spitfire Mark 16. Yeah, so I threw that in with it. And like I said, I was kind of bad. My objective was to have come home with one, maybe two, and I came home with seven. So,
oh geez, that's all right.
The good news is it's only three boxes of kits, so it's okay. Technically three kits, but yeah, there's seven models in there.
Gotcha. Well, cool. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you had a good time, and
I had a great
cool
time.
Stuff. Awesome.
Yeah.
D-Ran, how about you, man? What'd you pick up? You get anything?
Good deals? Well,
$5,000 worth of kits for $2 raffle ticket.
Well, we'll talk about the raffle in a second. I did buy two from the vendors. I got from AOA the 860 Sierra,
cool.
SAR Angels decals for this Academy 35th scale Sierra. I just got sitting over there.
You got lucky. That was the only sheet that he brought because he forgot the rest of them on his kitchen table when he left. And you got the only sheet.
Was it really?
I was going to pick it up. And I was like, no, because like I said, why, he was there open early. Mm-hmm. Why do you ever there? And I saw it and I looked at it and was like, I'll come back. And I guess I didn't get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great deal at $18. You know, I think they're 22, something like that online plus shipping. And what's really jazzed about it is it's got the 2019 Pax River markings on it. So
cool.
So that Academy 35th scale Sierra over there will become a Pax River SAR bird. That's going to be kind of cool.
PaxCon 2025.
Yeah,
There you go. I did pick up a Tamiya race car, a little a formula car. It's a Brabham BT50 BMW, which they had a real good price on. So I jumped on that. I like my race cars.
Yep.
And then my regular $40 worth of raffle tickets. And I think there were seven or eight kits I won off of the raffle, which it ranged from Airfix to Revell.
Yeah, but you got that 48 scale C-130 tester's gunship kit that is
the 130A.
Thanks, man.
I did. I couldn't believe it. I walked over. I said, there's no way. Sure as the day is long. There it was. But
dude, that's crazy.
And a sealed accurate miniatures SPD-1, which that's a great little kit, man. That was really the one I opened up. I got back to the hotel room and was looking at. And I think it's a 1992 boxing, something like that. But it's just cool. Real crisp. That's going to be a fun one to build.
And it's a yellow wings, man. That'll be beautiful.
Wings, yep. Natural metal deal, with yellow man. Wings. So
sweet.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, I bought two things. $40. I think I probably broke even. What you got, Frillo?
You know, I think in that boxing, the markings they give you for the Marine one, because it's a Marine SBD-1, was one of the ones a survivor of Pearl Harbor.
Oh, is that right?
I think so.
I have to take a look at the
history. Because I built that
sheet.
Kit. Yeah, and I think it's one of the ones, the survivors of Pearl Harbor.
I have to take a look at the history sheet on it then. Scott, did you pick anything up?
Oh, man, yeah. I concur with all you guys. It's just huge vendor section. Just, excuse me, just tons of stuff. And there were some tables that I saw, like, you know, they had really good prices. Nothing like hobby show prices vice hobby shop prices. And so I picked up two kits that had, you know, decent prices on them, I thought. One was still in the wrapper. One was the Hasegawa. It's a 48 scale F-18B. It was in the NASA markings. Still in the wrapper.
You stole that.
Sorry, the Rappa. Yeah, and so I found the an F-16B Hasegawa 48 scale kit. So I take those up. You know, and the packaging, all the insert, you know, everything's still in the bags. So I take it up and I hand it to the lady and I say, I'll take these two. And she looks at them. She goes, how about 20?
And then he walks away going.
and you got to say it, Nemo, it wasn't 20 each, was it?
No, it was 20 for both.
Exactly. I stole those, man.
I did.
Did you sleep well?
Felt bad. Oh man, like a baby.
I bet you.
Yep, because I've paid. That's me getting back at the model gods for having to pay $80 for that impact decals, the EA6A, that VMAQ2 sheet. I remember when I bought that thing, Waddy was like, oh, you found it? I'm like, yeah, for $80. He was like, you're an idiot. I was like, well, ooh. I got one. And then I felt like the champ because I'm like, well, oh, man, at least I got one. And then like 2 months later, hey, re-releasing, you know, $15. So I was pissed, yeah. But I bought another one just for fun.
it evens out.
It does. So anyway, I got those great deal on those kits. And then I bought some decals and a couple of really cool books. And I got a really neat weathering book from, I think it's from AK, if I'm not mistaken. It was pretty neat. And then I got one of the AOA SH-60. It's like a Bravo and an MH-60 Romeo and a bunch of other. I think it was like part two maybe, but it's got a squadron on there that one of my buddies flew in. And so, you know, I don't build for people, but he's a pretty neat dude. So there's a slight chance that I might build him a Kitty Hawk SH-60 Bravo and give it to him. So I haven't decided yet because it'd be so much work, but I wouldn't have to do anything to it other than just build it and give it to him. You know, wouldn't go to shows or anything, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll build it and then, you know, make a show circuit or two and then give it to him. But I don't know. Anyway, that's what I got. And I thought that the vendor section was awesome. Sounds like you guys had a great time too. And I just, you know, speaking of great, you know, organizing, and I thought that the, you know, IPMS Richmond did a fantastic job, not only with the vendor section, but just with the whole show. So I think, why don't we take some time? We did an interview with Richard Leninger, the VP of IPMS Richmond, and he was the ODO show chairman. So why don't we roll that, and we'll catch you guys in just a bit. See ya.
Hey, welcome back. Here we are, Model Geeks, hanging out at the Richmond ODO, the Old Dominion Open down here, being sponsored by IPMS Richmond. And we have here sitting with us Mr. Richard Leninger, the IPMS Richmond Vice President and Show Chair of the ODO. Richard, I first want to thank you for the hospitality, setting us up here in the hall in a great position. We're right here by the front door where all the action is. We appreciate that. We've had a lot of foot traffic coming by and speaking with us and saying hello and all that. So that's been great. So tell us about ODO and
first want to thank Model Geeks for promoting our show this year. We appreciate that.
Oh, we were
yeah,
always.
No, yeah.
I'll first start out by saying we're in a new building. We're in the Old Dominion building now.
So now it was here before a while back, right?
It was here early 2000s.
Yeah, because that's what Whitey and I were saying. Yeah, we're like, hey, I swear we've been here before.
We're here, and the heat went out, and it was like a 20-degree day, and we froze. Yeah. And so we went back to Henrico Hall. But this year, we've had a lot of changes. RAR, the Speedway here, under a lot of new management.
Okay.
And they're doing their rentals a little differently, and Henrico Hall now is not even available to us unless we buy it as a package of buildings. So, and we don't want to be in separate buildings. We want one big building. So,
right, yeah.
So, and they said that the HVAC system has been repaired in this building, so we're back here, and I think it's worked out great. We have a lot more room. We were able to add more vendor tables. In the Henrico, we only had 118. In this hall, we have 140 vendor tables.
Oh, wow.
And we were able to add more show tables, too. So it's worked out well this year for us.
Because one of the things that Whitey and I, we noticed this morning when we got here was the lighting in the morning was awesome.
Yes.
And on the Yamato battleship over there, the way it was positioned, the way it looked like it was, no kidding, on the ocean and the sun, like, was hitting it. I mean, like, the lighting was amazing this morning.
Yeah. We were fortunate. We did have some sun this morning. It's clouding up now. So that center area is a little lacking in light because the lights are so much taller there. than around the perimeter, but when the sun is out, it's actually better there. So, but that, yeah, on a cloudy day, it might not be quite as bright in there.
No, it looks great. Like I said, it's a great venue, very spacious. And again, yeah, the lighting, you can't complain about it. So they're in the midst of judging right now still. So, I mean, that's great for those guys. So the vendor turnout, yeah, has been fantastic. Yep. It's really packed in here as far as that goes. And we always, we talk about y'all show all the time, A, because we've been coming to it for years, way before, pre-podcast days. We've always loved this show. We always consider it our season kickoff.
Yep.
Which it pretty much is for Region 2, would you say, right?
I mean, yeah, I think we're the first. There's a show down in Raleigh now that is a little bit before us.
Okay.
But that's not really a competitor to us. We're really the first biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
And I think that helps us a lot as well.
Yeah, it's great. The turnout's always fantastic. What else about the about this year's show?
Well, I mean, we're having a record turnout. We actually have 950 models on the show tables.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, probably not a record. I think we had a few more last year, but that's right up there in one of the top two or three top years.
Now, is that entrance or actual physical?
Those are physical models.
Okay, yeah,
on the tables.
Wow.
Entrance as far as contestants, 227.
Excellent.
And that is probably one of the highest we've had.
I mean, a lot of models are being built.
Yeah. And I might add that this year we did break a record on general walk-in, general admissions. We had over 850 walk-ins.
Really?
That's awesome there. Yeah, sitting here by the door, I've been noticing that. Like, the walk-in traffic. I was like, wow, there is like some serious turnout going on.
Yeah.
All categories too are very well attended, I guess. There's the sci-fi categories, the Gundam even, and
Gundam is huge.
Gundam grows every year, and this year our raffle, I might add, we had just shy of 500 kits in our raffle, and I think that's probably the biggest raffle in the country aside from a national.
Oh wow!
You won't find a raffle bigger than that. Oh, the one company, Bandai, alone gave us 120 kits.
Really?
And they specialize in the Gundams.
Yep.
You know, Gundams and sci-fi, Star Wars things like that. But tremendous donation from them again this year.
Good stuff. Thanks goes out to them. Next year, is it how soon out do you guys start planning your show? I mean,
after this show,
yeah, right away.
Yeah, actually, it's a big commitment from our members to put on this show every year. So after this show, we put it to a vote. We say, all right, do we want to do this again? And invariably, every year we do. Our club here in Richmond is growing every year, and we have right at 50 members now.
I was going to say, you guys got a solid club, and to be able to pull off a contest of this scale each year is a testament to that. Do you want to speak a little bit about the club, where you guys meet, et cetera, sure. And for folks out there that may be interested in becoming a part of IPMS?
Absolutely.
Or just,
yes.
Now, you're an IPMS affiliated
yes.
club.
Yes,
we are. But for someone to show up to your meetings, do they have to be an IPMS member?
No.
How does that work?
No, they do not.
Okay.
They don't even have to be a member of our club, but when they come visit, we invite them to join our club. Everyone is
gotcha.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Our club meets, and it's a little different in that we don't have a set. We have to set our day on a yearly basis because we are at Deep Run Park in Henrico County. They have a recreation center, and we have a whole almost like an auditorium in there to meet. So we have audio videos and all kinds of things like that. And that space has just been great. We just moved there last year. So if you look up Deep Run Park in Henrico County, that's where we'll be. But I can't say it's usually the second Monday of the month. But because we are in a government center, there are sometimes there's holidays and we have to shift. So we, so my best advice would be to go to our website. And I'm going to announce that today that we have a new website. We just started it. And that site is IPMSRVA.org. I'll repeat it. IPMS.
Wow. So we got like
.org.
We got breaking news then.
Yep.
Hot news on the on the podcast. We're the first ones.
You're
the breaking
first.
News.
I'm going to announce it at the awards. But that's where the people will go to get all of the forms and everything and all the information about our club, where we meet, the dates, all the calendar on there, the dates that we meet. We usually meet from 6:30 till 9 on a Monday, usually.
Yep. I do. One thing I like about now is like you get your forms and stuff. Now you Google IPMS Richmond, the ODO, and you guys have the past winners from the previous ODOs.
Right.
So you can go back and like, oh, was that, a model you may have seen and like, oh yeah, there it is, And so I like that you're able to go back and like an archive
yep.
and kind of see models.
And that archive will be on our new website.
Or that you don't.
The results from this show will be on that website and we'll load up pictures from the show.
Awesome.
What I like about it is I don't mistakenly bring something I had last year.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I have numerous people that contact me and say, do you have a list of past winners? So I'm sure I don't double up. And we have that. We have
a
statistician that keeps all of that information and then we post it.
All right. So you haven't taken the vote yet, but date wise, what do you look at? Same time frame next year?
Oh yes, it's always the last weekend in February.
Okay, yeah. Make a note of that, folks.
Yep.
And definitely come out and hit this show if you can. You hear us talk about it all the time. We enjoy being here. It's a big one. Always go home with a full trunk, and it's great seeing the turnout of models out on the tables too. It's always some fantastic work.
And we did have 50 vendors this year.
All right.
I think that's a record.
And a lot of big names, too. I mean, Detail and Scales here, Dana Bell selling his book, Rare Plane Detective coming all the way across the country to be here.
Micro World Games this year.
Yep. Yeah, great. Well, once again, thank you for accommodating us.
Sure.
And what we'll try to do next year when it comes around is get you on before the show to speak about it, too. We wanted to try and do that. Our holiday break always messes us up because then we come rolling back in and we're like, all right, what were we going to do again? Because, we are a professional run organization, right?
Yeah.
Thanks again for promoting our show.
All right.
It may have had something to do with the numbers we had today.
I hope so.
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, it's like one of the better ones in our area, like one of the best ones, honestly. I know I've been coming, we've been coming since, 2008? I think it was the first time that we made it here, 2009. So we've come every year. And it's like one that I know I look forward to coming to. And we get to run into our old friends and stuff, too, that we haven't seen since the last show, which is usually, in the even year, just MarauderCon, which is like in October. And so you don't have a show or anything up until February. And so your old friends or anything that you see. And I was telling some guys earlier today, it was what I kind of associated to is if you've seen the movie Rounders, where Matt Damon and Ed Norton Jr., they go to Atlantic City and they're like, oh, if we wanted to sit here and take money from each other, we could have stayed at home. Kind of because they're all friends, from where they were from in New York. It's kind of like it is here. It's like, hey, same guys.
All right. Well, once again, thank you very much, Richard.
Sure.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
It's good meeting you.
All right. Take it easy.
Earlier we had mentioned, just catching up with people that we hadn't seen in a while. And one of the cool things we got to experience this weekend at the ODO was Rudy from Lionheart Hobbies and the lay of sponsor of the Model Geeks podcast. He came up to check out the show and to hang out with us and everything, and I finally got to meet Rudy for so many emails back and forth. And
I didn't realize you guys hadn't actually met.
I was kind of surprised too.
At Nats and San Marcos, you're
no,
busy.
I was
signing autographs and kissing babies.
I never got a chance to go over and talk to him and meet him. So it was good to finally you know, sit down with him there at dinner and everything. And we sat there and talking, and he was like, "So Andy, tell me about yourself." And I was like, "Oh, you know?" I was like, "Yeah, I haven't really had a whole lot of time with you." And Rudy's a great guy, man. I'm so glad Rudy came out and I finally got to put a face with an email. And if you listen to our last episode, he was the one that I bought those ejection seat Gru 7 pull handles for. And he wrote the note in there. It said, "Hey, you know, hey, Frildo, it's me, Rudy from Lionheart." You know, I was like, "Oh, I didn't even realize it was his, you know, eBay store." And he's like, "Looking forward to catching up with you at the ODO." And so I'm glad we did. So without further ado, we'll go ahead. We're going to roll the interview with Rudy from Lionheart Hobbies.
Hey, welcome back, man. It's Whitey, still hanging out here at the ODO 2024 down here in Richmond, Virginia. And we're going to sit down and chat with one of our guests who decided to make the trip up and visit with us. You've heard them a couple weeks ago. We've interviewed Rudy and Danielle of Lionheart Hobby out of Kyle, Texas. Well, Rudy decided to come on up and take a visit to the ODO. Welcome aboard, Rudy.
Thank you guys for getting the information out about this show. And as soon as, you know, like last year, you guys described it as a mini nationals.
Yeah.
And I was intrigued. And even though you had sold it very well already, I get here and I'm surprised by the size of this show. It is indeed it's the greatest number of modelers and vendors that I've seen in one place since nationals in San Marcos. And I don't think you'll see this typically in the you know, southwest of the United States at most local size shows. So
yeah, I was gonna say probably the one that kind of would compete with this is the San Antonio / New Braunfels show. I still call it the San Antonio show, but I always remember that one as being like giant.
You're accurate there. That is definitely a giant for a non-nationals kind of show in our part of the country.
So how does this one compare to kind of the San Antonio?
I'd say comparing to the Model Fiesta show that was just a couple of weeks ago, this is probably, Model Fiesta would have been about 70% the size of this show.
Oh, wow.
With maybe 40% of the entries.
Oh, geez.
So we are seeing a lot of folks at the shows in the Austin area, but we're not seeing as many models yet. I'm sure they're all on workbenches. They're all getting
exactly. They're all working on them.
Exactly. But we still see all the folks. And we see the folks at the show. So
sweet.
It's still a great fellowship experience for everybody.
Yeah. We sat and talked with the show chairman a moment ago, and he ran some numbers for us. But then one of the numbers that stuck out to me, I can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but the foot traffic, the walk-ins, he said was, really high up there.
It looked to me like it must be. I tried to do a photo from one corner of the room to capture it, and I couldn't because of the throng of people right in front of right in the foreground. There were a lot of people here today. Everyone was having a good time, and
it's a good turnout. And the vendor turnout's huge. And you know, God knows there's been some deals out there too.
Oh, it was.
Did you buy anything?
And you know what? I sure did. And I met people. I met the head of AOA Decals was here. Dana Bell was here. I've been reading his books since I was young.
Yeah.
And Dana Bell was here with it. And it was one of those cases. We're talking about the books on the table. And he said, "Oh, yeah. And I wrote this one over here, just finished." And it's way, I was connecting the dots. You're Dana Bell. And this is really awesome. Detail and Scale, Rock and Bert are here and showing off the very beginnings of their new book coming out on the P38. That was exciting. But seeing this many models and accessories and books for sale in one room, it definitely reminds me of Nationals in that way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But with its own personality. Because you've got I'm looking at boxes and boxes of vacuform kits here, right?
Yeah.
You don't see those at every show.
No.
Those are tempting to me, too, because of some of the subject matter in there is fantastic. But then I go, oh, no, I don't have time for that.
That's one of those things. Are there enough hours in life to finish
vacuum? I can always tell, like, because I know Whitey, he'll go towards if there's like airwaves or reheat or some of those like accessories, like really hard to find. And me, I'm always looking for like Paragon, some of the older detail stuff.
Yeah.
And that stuff is here today. I got a little bit of it.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I definitely saw some cool stuff that is, you know, road less traveled.
So how about from a business perspective, was there any contacts made that are,
absolutely.
You,
yeah, absolutely. Yes. AOA Decals and Dana Bell both.
Yeah.
Dana hasn't found specific distribution for his books yet. So,
oh, wow.
I'd love to be able to do that. I would love to
be awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course, just reinforced a relationship we already had with Detail and Scale. And,
yeah.
I missed Jeff with Furball. I was hoping to see him here, but I'm already set up with Jeff. It would just be reinforcing a relationship I already had. But
the new stuff that Jeff's coming out with, you know, for the longest time, he was just doing like modern, you know, U.S. Navy and Tomcat and Hornet kind of stuff. And now he just kind of dipped this little bit foot in the water, like the P-47s. And according to Jeff, like they're just selling out.
And look out, all you owners of Arma Hobby FM2 Wildcats, 72nd, he's covered ground on World War II subjects that he had before. And it appears as though he is combining with Detail and Scale to share information.
Wow.
So you'll get a huge sheet of 48 scale Dauntlesses, for instance, 19 choices.
Jeez.
Let's see, 22 choices of Wildcats and Hellcats on his sheets.
It's crazy.
Great stuff. Yeah. Great stuff.
Awesome.
Love Jeff.
Yeah, and combine that with the books and get your the ideas flowing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, there was so much here. I see some of the vendors are flowing out right now, getting their trailers packed.
And I know. I think we're getting, well, I can't remember what time the awards show is supposed to be, but it's only not quite 3:30 yet. But
yeah.
Oh, and on the subject of awards, the consistency of quality that I'm seeing across categories here is so impressive to me. The aircraft, the consistency of quality, whether you're looking at a Wingnut Wings model or you're looking at a 48 scale Skyhawk, I'm seeing this consistency of quality that kind of tells me there's a lot of information being shared in this region, and it's showing up on the table.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed.
We've always said it, that region two is high on the competition. I mean, it's, I'm glad typically I would volunteer to judge. We got wrapped up with this podcasting thing today. So we didn't get a chance to volunteer to judge. And I'm kind of glad I didn't, because same thing, I wouldn't want to be making those decisions today.
Well, what also gives the feel to me of a nationals here is that there isn't any category that's lacking. At local shows in Texas, sometimes you say, oh, I wonder where the cars were today. Or I wonder where the multi-engine aircraft were today. No, they're all here. Yep. Yeah, they're all here in Richmond. Every category is stacked. I've never seen a science fiction category like this, probably outside of Wonderfest.
Yeah, I mean, it was full table.
Table.
Lots.
Some great stuff.
Yeah, it was, and I don't know why. Why is Richmond such a mecca for, like, the model world? I don't know. I mean, it's not a whole lot further than, like, the Baltimore or, you know, the PaxCon was pretty big, too, and we were out in the middle of nowhere. So that was kind of, you know, but there's something about this show, the Richmond show. Maybe it's because it's close to the freeway. I don't know. It's close to DC.
Has it always been in this venue at the Raceway venue?
That's a great question. I know that since I've been coming here, it's been here.
Yeah, it's been pretty much. Yeah, it's been at this venue, the Richmond Raceway Complex, for as long as I can remember. And now this specific building that we're in right now, we spoke with the chairman earlier, and he talked about how the previous room or building that they used was not available. They changed the way they do their rentals to where they would have to rent three buildings to use one. And so that's why they moved over to here, which is an older facility, but it's larger.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I think the lighting's a heck of a lot better.
Lighting's better. Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially with the natural lighting coming in.
Yeah.
When you can keep your show in a consistent location at a consistent time of year,
Yeah.
You're going a long way toward ensuring you're going to have visitors every year. People are marking their calendars already for next year.
Yeah.
Yep. It's always the same weekend. You know, so that's, again, the consistency is always there, and the location.
Mm. Oh, so. Yeah. And that's, and it's a challenge for show planners to do that every year now with the way prices fluctuate on venues and construction at a venue that you're used to. Maybe they need to completely remodel it, so you've got to move out for a year. That messes with that consistency.
Yeah.
That's meaningful to having great numbers at the door each year.
Well, speaking of all the models that fantastic turnout, has there been anything what's kind of stuck out in your mind that you thought was significant that you liked?
You know, it has to be the mix. So I'm walking around the aircraft category. I'm yep. seeing South American invaders. I'm seeing Royal Australian twin engine ground attack aircraft I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Imperial Japanese Army and Navy aircraft in numbers. I'm seeing jets done in interesting schemes I haven't seen before. The fact that I'm not seeing the same thing over and over and over on the table is really, it's really impressive to me. And the Commonwealth is well represented there.
Yeah.
All countries, all eras, just so well, especially on the aircraft. That's my main area of interest. So that's where I noticed it most.
Yeah.
But it's got to be the same on the armor table. The cars were incredibly well mixed between racing and stock and scale. It's just, yeah, it's
cool.
It's got to be the mix for me.
Sweet.
Yep, that's been the most impressive.
Cool.
Well, I'm glad it was sounds like it was a worthwhile trip up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Good.
And I can't wait to get Danielle up here, not only for the show, but this has been a wonderful stay overall. Yeah. Richmond is a cool place.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to show her.
Yeah. Sweet. Great. Excellent. Well, we're glad you came on up. Good to
thank
see you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, good to meet you in person.
It really is. We'll be able to get to hang out some more tonight, I'm sure.
You bet. Right. Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Thanks for coming up, Rudy. It's awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you. All right. Thank you, Rudy, for sitting down with me and Scott and yapping away. That was real good. And enjoyed hanging out with you at dinner. Good times. Nice to meet you in person as well. I wasn't at Nats, so I didn't have the chance to meet you guys there. Let's see who else we talked to. Real quick, I do want to touch on, you know, I was at the table for a large part of the day and had lots of people coming by and, you know, saying how much they enjoy listening to the show. And I always try to get names and stuff, but some people, they just kind of hit and run, man. But one guy and his wife, he stopped to say hi to us. And so I wanted to say hello to Ben and his wife, Jamie, from North Carolina. They stopped by and they say, hey, you know, how much they enjoy listening to the show. And he's actually an armor modeler, but he still enjoys listening to us, even though we're primarily airplane nerds. But anyway, nice to meet you folks. You guys were interesting to listen to, and thanks for being part of the show. And then Derek Beard, he was a guy, he did the 72nd scale C-47, and he picked up an award, I believe, for that, or if not for that, for one of his other builds. And but, you know, he kind of grabbed me and said, hey, he complimented me on my C-47 and wanted me to come critique his. And I was like, I cannot critique your work. I just, that's not me. I don't critique people's work, good or bad. Well, you're going to get good from me. I'm never going to hammer on anyone's work. And he's like, no, come on, come here. You know, tell me what and I was like, look, man, I'm looking at it. It looks fantastic to me. Fantastic job, Derek. It looked great. And as I said, when I was talking to you, your finish was fantastic. I loved how it was that faded olive drab look. Let's see. And in the meantime, and then, Stephen Lee was another guy who we ran into at the show. Stephen Lee, he runs a blog called, Sprue Pie with Frets. And, he was at our PAX show and I felt bad because God knows we never even got to any, podcast work during that show. We were so busy, and Stephen Lee was one of the guys I really wanted to talk to there. So I made it a point to, I was like, hey, toward the end of the day, I was like, come on, man, you got to sit down and give us some time in front of the mic. And he did. And that was, he's interesting to talk to, smart guy, very articulate, of course, and, had an entertaining chat with him. I love his blog, cause his perspective on the hobby is just, really, really interesting to me. Anyway, here we go. We'll, roll that interview with Stephen Lee. Take it away. All right, welcome back. Me and Frildo, Whitey and Frildo, we're sitting here at the ODO. And we just ran into an old friend of ours from around the modeling community, Steve Lee of Sprue Pie with Frets. I can't say that as well as Mike Basquette does.
But yeah, I know.
It just rolls off his tongue whenever he mentions you in their show as a spot. He's like, if you want to listen to Steve Lee with Sprue Pie with Frets, it just, anyway. Welcome aboard, man. How you doing?
Thank you, sir. Thanks for inviting me on. It's a pleasure to be talking to you guys today.
I'm a fan of your blog. I've been reading it since it ever, you know, I don't even know where I stumbled across it originally. Well, how long have you been doing that for?
It's going on 3 years. It started during COVID.
It seems longer than that.
I know.
Why does it seem longer than that? I don't know.
Well, time is
what did you have? Did you do another? I guess it has been. All right. 3 years.
Yeah.
At any rate. I try to never miss a beat with it because I enjoyed it. It's your take on the hobby. You throw in the, you know, sprinkling in with the humor and the knowledge and stuff. It's just great. It's entertaining, you know, bottom line. So again, welcome aboard. Good to talk to you. Sorry, folks, for the background noise. We have the raffle is happening.
We're coming to you live from the ODO.
Yeah, semi-live. So this is not your first ODO. Where you're from? What club do you represent? Where you out of, et cetera, if you want to break it down.
Sure.
Like that.
Well, actually, this is my first ODO. I've never been down here before. I'm, you know, mainly from the Washington D.C. area, but since COVID, we moved out to, you know, the Delaware Shore area, and since that time, I've been very involved with a group that now calls itself the Dead Man's Chest Club of Delaware. And we've got some, I mean, I feel lucky and kind of like the sorry, you know, little stepbrother of this group, because it includes, Mike Witkowski, who a lot of us know, and, Mike Terry, who's a master of 172nd string bags.
Yeah,
I mean, he is a fantastic modeler, but those are a couple of the other notable members, but, we're like an unaffiliated club.
Yeah, I was going to say, like an informal group of just like-minded modelers.
Yes.
Kind of like us.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's right. I think a previous iteration of the club had been like part of IPMS or something, but we're not. We just get together once a month and hang out in Mike Terry's basement and talk about models and tell war stories.
Get together and build too. I mean, is it a build session?
We are striving. We don't necessarily have a build session, but we are striving to have like workshop sessions.
Okay.
So like I'm going to bring my silhouette cutter over, I think in a meeting in the next month or so. And we're going to make some roundels and some Balkenkreuzes and all that kind of stuff and kind of demonstrate what that does.
Nice. Yeah. That'd be Frillo here, he's got a cricket?
Yeah, it's the wife's cricket that I use.
So he's made some masks for me. And that's, I don't know, I've been kind of bopping around the idea of picking up something like that, either the cricket or the...
I'd get the silhouette
cutter. Is that more
something
along the line for what we do, think? Or
I think the silhouette's got better software and it can import graphics easier. Like,
yes.
Like if you kind of upgrade the software and silhouette, like something you could do, for example, is take a decal sheet and just put it into your scanner and just like boom shakalaka it becomes
and you can't do that with the cricket. Yeah, when you try to do it with the cricket, it doesn't work,
man. That is cheating from hell right there.
Yeah,
it is.
That's all that'll sell me practically right there, man.
But it's a big device. Like it has a big physical footprint, at least big for me. Like it's probably a foot, like it takes up maybe a foot by 2.5 feet.
Oh wow. Yeah.
And
okay.
And you've got to have room to feed material in and out of it. So, personally, I don't really have a place to like leave it out and just feed stuff to it. So I have to like unpack it, get it out,
gotcha,
set it up, all that.
And what are you cutting vinyl through it, or does it cut the tape material that like Tamiya tape? for example, something like that kind of stuff.
Everybody, there's a couple of things. There's some actual like dedicated vinyl mask materials that you can get that has a low tack and it's kind of stretchy and it's called Aura Mask.
Okay, yeah.
And there's a couple of thicknesses of it. I personally have had my best luck with sheets of Tamiya, because Tamiya makes the tapes and the rolls, but they also make sheets.
They do. Yep.
Yeah. And I've had the best luck feeding sheets.
Okay.
Tamiya.
Now I tried doing that for Whitey on the Cricut, and the lowest setting on that thing cut right through that Tamiya tape. So I couldn't use the Tamiya tape to make those masks because that knife just cut right through it, like all the way through it.
And like through the backing and all that. And then it's impossible to separate, or at least it's very frustrating to separate. I've been able to get the silhouette adjusted so that it'll just cut the tape or cut the, you know, the adhesive material and not the backing. So, I mean, I do think it's maybe got a little more like precise control or something like that.
Okay.
Good to know. All right. So again, first ODO then, thoughts on the show?
Well, I'm really impressed by all the models I've seen here. First of all, I don't know how many models, but somebody said they could be over 1,000. I would not be surprised.
It's close.
Yeah, let's see. We spoke with the chairman earlier, and spoiler for if you didn't listen to his interview, it was like what 950s?
Yeah,
950s,
something like that.
It was up there. Yeah, it's pretty good.
800 walk-ins.
Yeah. Nice. I've been blown away by car models. I've dabbled in it. You can go see some things I've done on the blog with car modeling, and I have like a modest stash of car projects that I want to do in the future. But I was blown away by some of the things I saw in the car world.
The finishes on.
I'm always blown away by the automobile categories, just because of what Thrilda just said. The finishes on them are, I can mess up a camo scheme or a dull gray scheme all day long, and you're not going to notice it. But you make a single mistake with a thing like that, and you're stripping it and starting it over.
Yep.
What else was I going to go with? Some good blog material for you here then.
I think so. I mean, I've seen a lot of things that I admire, like the car models. There's a Gundam table here that is got the highest population density of models here in the place. I mean, it was paved from one end to the other with Gundams, and they had a kind of a big Gundam category and a small Gundam category, both completely filled.
Yeah, and if you look across, from where our vantage, we can see the Gundam table down there.
That big crowd is over by the Gundams.
That's the cool thing about those guys is, the demographic, you could say, is younger or whatever, but they all hang over there and talk and tell stories about the various kits that they've built.
Yep.
And I think that's pretty cool. Now, how about yourself? Did you enter anything? I heard something about submarines.
Yeah.
So what's going on there?
So our group, our Dead Man's Chest group, it's kind of a little joke to enter submarines. As Mike Witkowski says, they're all giant drop tanks, So
says the guy who enters a couple submarines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we all did different submarines, and we all have kind of an abiding fascination with them anyways. I mean, it's certainly not what I consider my main thing, but I had one done. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do what the cool kids at the club are doing. And I brought one. I brought an ancient sci-fi build. Like, it's one that actually lives on my desk. And I was in my office this week, and I was sitting there typing away or doing something, wasting time. And I looked down at this model and said, I think I kind of killed this one. I'm going to bring it to the contest and see what happens with it. So I entered that. I entered one of my, my usual genre is small armor. 172nd or HO 187th or 176th. So I brought one of those things along, and there's a fourth thing that I brought. I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's always good.
Hey,
I've left shows and forgot stuff. I've been sitting on the table. So
I've had people take my stuff to shows and forget it. And then somebody like Martin Drayton, organizes his army of airline friends.
Oh yeah.
And he got it back for me, which was positively awesome. Oh, my last thing, I entered a railroad cannon, one of those K5 Leopold.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Very tiny 1/44 scale. And I love tiny models. That's like, to me, I mean, yeah, like a 1/32nd Tornado or Phantom is like cool looking and everything. But when somebody knocks it out of the park with a little tiny model of something, there is something
magical. I've seen 1/144 scale flying wing, Bell Flying Wing won best aircraft here a couple of years, like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
It was natural metal, I think it was, and it ended up winning best aircraft.
That's impressive. I wish I could have been here to see that, because I like big airplanes and small scales. It is tough to pull off.
It is, yeah. I'm not even going into that genre of small. And some of the kits now that are in one, that those smaller scales, they're really well detailed and really well made with fine line panels and everything else. I don't know. With me, it's my fumbling fingers and trying to paint something like that.
Right.
Now, once again, what is your blog for the folks listening?
It's called Sprue Pie with Frets, and I think I always get the URL mixed up, but I think it's sprue pie with frets.wordpress.com. But if you did the Google search.
If you Google, yeah.
And if you look in the Facebook search bar or in the Instagram search bar, you'll find me. You'll find my stuff. My Instagram tends to be models, but the blog and the Facebook, I have my my awful opinions and my awful analysis of things. Some people like, some people don't, but that's not, I don't
I'm
do
a
it for
fan.
Anybody.
I like it. Yeah. Well,
thank you. I really appreciate it.
It's always entertaining.
And I'm a big fan of the Geeks. I've listened to every episode since you started.
Thank you.
Back in lonely COVID days, these were the human voices that sustained me. So I really appreciate it. And I also really appreciate the things you all have inspired me to do. Like I don't do aircraft very often, for example, but there's a Harrier that I almost brought here today that I did basically because you guys like, it sounds like they're having so much fun doing airplanes. What am I missing out on? Maybe I should go do it.
Well, that's flattering. Thank you. It's great to hear. That's what we strive for, I guess, is just to try to be some sort of a positive voice in the hobby.
And inspire people to get out, try something different.
Exactly.
You get
to invention, build something, right? Is what we say.
Right. So. And I appreciate that. I mean, and that's something I'd like to think I'm trying to do. I'm sometimes critical of different things, but really I'm here for the models. And it's because I love the models. I love the people who make them. I've been looking forward to coming here today. Like for as long as I've known that it was going on, and it was just, it's been awesome to hang out with you guys, to hang out with other people, to talk to the vendors, talk to the modelers out standing around looking at their models. I love it.
It is. It's always a great day coming to a show. All right. That's a wrap. We'll wrap that up.
Awesome.
Again, thanks for sitting down with us.
Yeah.
I know you were at PaxCon, and I ran into you there, and we were like, hey, we got to talk. And
it was
God knows,
show.
I was just jumping through my butt all day like the rest of the club was, and we didn't get a bit of content out of our own show. We didn't even do any show. So,
well, that's reflected in what the quality of that show was. I mean, it was clear that some real conscientiousness went into that, and if you didn't report on on Model Geeks about it, that's okay, because you still had a great show, and I love being there. And everybody I know who was there still talks about it.
Well,
so, hoo-ah.
We hope we can do it again in 2025.
Yep.
Repeat.
Yes.
Again, all right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
All right.
Take it easy.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Well, guys, that was a great show. Any final thoughts before we head out? How about you, Frildo?
It was just great getting back and talking to people, because the ODO kicks off our show season for up here in Region 2, and it's just good to get talk to people again, and guys we haven't seen since I think pretty much since PaxCon last year, right? We saw a lot of those guys.
Right.
So it's good just to touch base with those guys and see what they've been up to, and it's just a great time. Get out there and mingle amongst some like-minded people that share some of the same passions that we do.
Yeah. How about you, Nemo?
Yeah. Not a whole lot else to add other than it's just great seeing people. Great talking to folks. Had fun looking at all the cool models. So many inspirational pieces, I think that for me, it's fun meeting folks and talking to new folks and talking about models and just shooting the shit. And, it's like, I still, after so many shows that I've done throughout my life, I still like have a hard time sleeping the night before because I'm super because I'm super excited, you know. And I look forward to, like, you know, I mean, even though we didn't do it this time because I was already, we had driven to Richmond because we were in DC or whatever, but like I miss like Whitey and Frill coming over to the house at like 5:30 in the morning and then getting on the road, and like we're just sitting there shooting the shit for like a couple of hours before we get to a show because we don't see each other that often. And so I wish I missed more. I missed that more than I thought. Like, don't get me wrong, it's fun hanging out with Allison. My wife's neat, but I miss the going to get the honey buns and picking up, stopping by Wawa and getting the coffee and
just all the pregame stuff,
all that stuff. Yeah. That's something that, I still enjoy. And again, thanks to Rudy. Thank you so much for making the trip. It was just a blast getting to hang out with you and to see you again. And hopefully don't make sure and bring Danielle next time, but great, great show. Looking forward to the next one.
Thanks, Nemo. How about you, Whitey?
All right. I want to just thank Richard Leninger once again. I know I covered that in the interview earlier, but thanks for the hospitality and the setup there in the hall. That was really great of you. And what else? Yeah, we have a couple other interviews from the show that we'll run in Fall One segments. Specifically, Jeff Garrity from Rare Plane Detective. He sat down with me for a good few minutes. Really nice guy to talk to. And also Frildo, he spoke with the one and only Dana Bell. We'll get those rolled into future episodes. Otherwise, had a great day. Looking forward to Fairfax.
How about you, Darren? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, just echo the same thing. The thanks to ODO or to Richmond as a whole, the whole group. I think they just did a bang up job. It was well done, well executed. You know, I hope the listeners enjoyed this kind of little midweek break, mid episode break, drop, if you will, of our wrap up of ODO. We've got a lot of shows coming up here in the near future. I know Canada and, Fairfax and MosquitoCon and MarauderCon and all those. So expect a few more of these. I hope the listeners enjoy it. The main thing is hats off to the Richmond IPMS group. They really did a good job. It was wonderful. So that's it for me.
Thanks, Darren. Yeah, the only thing I'll add is that I did have my pseudo honey bun on the morning of the of the game day. I stopped by Waffle House and got me a big old waffle.
Oh, and, you bastard! I didn't know that.
I just had to get one because it was the hotel I was staying at. Breakfast was going to be $30, and I'm not spending $30 for breakfast. So I.
Well, you'd have to sit amongst all the church ladies too.
Well, there was that, but I could stomach that. That wasn't the problem.
That's a whole other story there for the listeners. We'll have to address that one in episode 73.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one later. But yeah, it was. I decided that instead of stopping in a Wawa or something, that as I'm driving looking for breakfast opportunities here. There it is, Waffle House, and I just zipped right in real quick and just loaded up on a big old waffle.
Outstanding.
Yeah, yeah. But I echo what everyone else has said. It, great show, as usual, nice and big, good venue, and lots of people. I actually came home hoarse at the end of the day. I had been talking to so many people. It was great. Well, with that, folks, I think we're going to wrap this up. I want to thank all the geeks that listen, as well as our sponsors, Tamiya USA, Lionheart Hobbies, Detail and Scale, Sprue Brothers, and Furball Aero Design. And if you enjoy listening to us banter and do whatever it is we do here sometimes, I sometimes question what that is. But anyway, if you enjoy it and enjoy listening to model topics in general, then you ought to check out modelpodcast.com, where you can find links to all of our friends that are out there also covering other genres and a lot of scale modeling content, whether it's sci-fi, armor, figures, ships, box dioramas, Gundams, you name it. The guys there have got you covered. And It's not really an episode, but hey, it's in the books, and we're going to call this one done. We hope you all enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed sitting here chatting about Old Dominion Open and the hobby in general. We want to thank you all for making us a part of your valuable bench time. Hope you can join us at our next podcast. But for now, be excellent to each other, get to the bench, and build something. So out from the geeks. Take care, everyone.
Good night.
Later. See ya.
Take it easy.
Recovery complete.